Hello, folks. My name is Will Aitchison, and I want to welcome you to the Labor Relations Information Systems podcast series. Today, we have a special treat for you. We have one of the nation's experts on looking at the issue of sleep deprivation from a business and management standpoint. There are sleep deprivation experts who publish studies from a physiological or a psychological standpoint, but not many who've ever addressed it within the model of business. Sleep deprivation, of course, is a fact of life in public safety. It's a fact of life for police officers, many of whom work swing shifts and graveyard shifts, and some of whom work rotating shifts, and certainly for firefighters who work a 24-hour day, it's just simply part of their existence. Same for all other public safety employees, such as corrections officers. But what has struck me over time, my particular bias on this, is how little we pay attention to the ramifications of sleep deprivation in the public safety workplace. We almost simply accept that it's a fact of life. There's nothing we can do about it, so we may not as well even think about it. So with that as a background, let me introduce the individual I'm going to interview. His name is Cristiano Guarana, and I'm no doubt mispronouncing his last name. Cristiano is a professor at Indiana University's Kelly School of Business. He received his doctorate from the University of Washington in Seattle, and his undergraduate degree, his master's degree from the Ohio State University. So in other words, he's got all the major football schools that are not in Alabama covered in his educational background. He just published or had accepted for publication, along with a co-author, an important study that will be published in the Harvard Business Review, which is about as prestigious as it gets. And it deals with the issue of sleep deprivation and, roughly speaking, supervisory-subordinate relationships, and looks at them from both sides. So with that as a background, Cristiano, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Will. Thanks for having me.
And Cristiano, tell us, given your background in business administration and human resources, what brought you to the topic of sleep deprivation from an academic standpoint?
That's a very interesting question. So I've always been interested on leadership, followership, how leaders and followers interact, make decisions, behave. But I must tell that my interests converged to this intersection of sleep and leadership. So when I was working on my PhD at University of Washington, I met a very important person to my academic career. His name is Chris Barnes, and he is now a friend and co-author on this project and many others. But he, Chris, is the one who introduced sleep to management. And I was talking to him about leadership, followership, and we started thinking about how sleep could influence leadership and followership. So we started investigating the effects of sleep on leadership. That's the beginning. That's how I got involved with research on sleep. It complemented my initial interest in leadership.
Now, I used a phrase, and I realize now it may not have a meaning in an academic sense. I used the phrase sleep deprivation. Does that have an accepted definition?
Yeah, so sleep deprivation is simply a low quantity of sleep. If we think about quality of sleep or low quality of sleep, we in general think about insomnia. Most of the organizations, most of the health organizations recommend between 7 and 9 hours of sleep per night. What is interesting is that we vary, each one of us vary in the amount of sleep we get per night. Some people, the variations are bigger or larger than others, but in general, we tended to vary. In this particular paper that you just mentioned, Will, we looked and measured sleep from the same individual multiple times. This is called a within individual design, which is strong because we keep some individual differences constant across the individuals. So what we really say in the paper is that when a given individual gets less sleep than that individual typically gets, then he is sleep deprived, and that has consequences for his or her work life, in this paper, for their relationships at work.
So that's interesting. You're not using an overall baseline of, say, 7 or 8 or 9 hours of sleep, but rather looking at the individual variation in sleep among your subjects.
That's correct. That's exactly what we did, because some individuals, in general, sleep less than others or more than others. So in order to take into consideration that this individual difference, we kept the individual constant. So we measured that same individual over multiple points in time.
Now, set the stage for us a little bit. Sleep studies are not new. They've been around for a long time, and they've been focused on different occupational groups. I seem to remember a number of them focusing on nurses and also other healthcare professionals such as doctors. And from those studies, we know that that inadequate sleep has a number of deleterious both physical and psychological effects. Could you give us sort of the lay of the land of, before we get into your study, the lay of the land of kind of what we know about inadequate sleep?
So the message of getting little or being sleep deprived is that, yes, there is many negative impacts on our health in general. Okay, so for example, sleep deprivation leads to greater risk of obesity or obesity, of course, yes, obesity. So interestingly, if you are sleep deprived, individuals are less able to control for their impulses, and they end up eating more. Also, sleep is related to heart attacks, strokes, even car accidents. From a managerial standpoint, sleep has been related to injuries at work and even abusive supervision. So it touches many different aspects of our lives. And it's not only our work life, but also our personal life, how we just handle things in our day-to-day lives.
Now, your research, the paper that I read, focused on what I would call broadly supervisor-subordinate relationships and seemed to have a particular focus on the trait of hostility. What did you mean by all that?
Yeah, so we also know that sleep deprivation leads to high levels of frustration, irritability, depression, hostility, as in the paper, and low levels of joviality and other positive emotions. What is perhaps even more interesting is that we tend to, when we are sleep deprived, we have difficulties in controlling our emotions. So sleep deprived people, they are more emotionally reactive, especially with regards to negative emotions, such as hostility. Hostility is a negative and other-related or other-oriented emotion. And we tend to observe hostility pretty easily. And hostile people, they tended to be angry, irritable, scornful. So it's very salient to us when we observe somebody who is hostile.
And you focused on this trait of hostility in the context of sleep, in the context of supervisor-subordinate relationships. What did you find?
Yeah. So what we found is that sleep deprivation influences the quality of the relationship between leaders and followers, supervisors and subordinates, via hostility. So what happens is that when leaders and followers are sleep deprived, they have this tendency to experience more hostility, which in turn influences the quality of the relationship that they develop with the other party. And it doesn't matter if you are the leader or the follower. Lack of sleep tends to influence both sides of the leadership equation. We also found what to me was surprising and interesting as well, is that these results are more pronounced. They are stronger at the beginning of their relationship. Leaders and followers are still trying to figure out their relationship and are more susceptible to those relational cues that we get from the environment. Later, when they know one another better, they focus on different factors, and other factors such as performance influence the relationship. But at the beginning, sleep is an important predictor of the relationship that they end up developing. Another finding in the paper is that sleep-deprived individuals, they are not aware of the damage they cause to the relationship. To them, to those sleep-deprived leaders and followers, the relationship is still okay. But to the other party, the relationship is in a really bad shape.
I find this absolutely fascinating. So what you're doing is looking at these relationships, leader, follower, subordinates, supervisor relationships. You're looking at the relationships. You're controlling for, like, all of the other variables in the relationship that might be meaningful, and looking at the quality of the relationship in the light of sleep. And you're finding that sleep in and of itself influences the course of the relationship. Do I have that right?
That's correct. And we take into consideration some personality traits. So extroversion, agreeableness, for example. Some people could evaluate the relationship with the leader better because the leader was a little bit more extroverted. Or the other way around, the leader could be evaluating the follower, the relationship that they develop with the follower, because the follower is more extroverted. But we are taking all those other characteristics, at least a few of the characteristics that we could come up with that could also matter to the relationship development stage. We are controlling for those. We are taking those into consideration when running our analysis.
And where do you go from here with your research?
Yeah, so there are many different routes or new projects that we are working. One of them is actually looking at intervention. And if we are able to improve the sleep quality of leaders, for example, or leaders who suffer from insomnia, could we influence the leadership effectiveness or their leadership effectiveness? Could we improve the relationship that they develop with followers? So now that we know that sleep predicts relationships or the development of relationships between leaders and followers, we are looking for different ways that we can mitigate this bad effect or help individuals to sleep better and hopefully become better leaders later on. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, another point here that is missing, perhaps there is a gap in our understanding about leadership, is up to this point, leaders were born leaders or developed as leaders. And organizations are spending a lot of money trying to develop new leaders. We know that about 30% of the leadership behavior is related to genetics. The other 70% could be developed. But organizations are spending a lot of time on leadership development. But simple things like sleep can influence the effectiveness of leadership. So it could be the case that organizations are spending a lot of money investing on leadership development, but at the same time, they are giving these people, these leaders, laptops, tablets, phones, and expecting them to reply to emails or messages any time in the day or even in the evening. So because we are creating these sleep-deprived leaders, all the money that we're putting to develop them as leaders could be going, we would not be making the most out of it. We are still damaging their leadership abilities because we are keeping them sleep-deprived.
Interesting. Let me ask you to perhaps wing it a little bit, since this is a little beyond the area of your study. This podcast is listened to primarily by public safety employees, corrections officers, police officers, firefighters, deputy sheriffs. On the law enforcement side, they are working on a 24-hour basis. There's usually two or three shifts per day. The individuals in law enforcement who work during the nighttime hours, swing shift or graveyard shift, are frequently called back to testify in court during what would be their normal sleeping hours. So they will have, even assuming they're able to get the 7 to 9 hours of sleep, whatever the norm might be, they're instead going to bed for 3 hours, waking up, putting on a suit, testifying in court, coming home and trying to get another 2 or 3 hours sleep before going back out on the street. And then we are asking, I'll stay with law enforcement for a moment and get to fire protection. Then we are asking these officers to make these split second decisions of incredible moment. You know, whether or not to deprive somebody of their liberty by arresting them, or how to respond to some operational situation, how to function in a team environment, and also how to function in what is generally viewed as a paramilitary, very structured supervisor-subordinate environment. What are the implications of what you are finding for this sort of profession? How can they take what you have learned into consideration in terms of improving not just their own work lives, but the service they provide everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually an interesting question. And again, our data don't speak to these type of situations, and my comments should be treated here as more of speculations. But what is interesting is that definitely, this is a research question that needs to be more explored to understand the consequences of sleep deprivation to these particular professions. But what we can say is that individuals who are sleep deprived, they tend to be in a bad mood more so than if they are sleeping better. And they tend to base their decisions on impulse more than deliberation. So they tended to base decisions on what we call system one thinking, which is more automatic, reactive, and more vulnerable to stereotypes, than our system two thinking, which is more deliberative and reflective. So it is a difficult situation to make those split-second decisions if you are sleep deprived. It's more difficult than perhaps if you are rested. So, but yeah, we have to be a little bit careful about here to not speak beyond our data. Our research really doesn't address how police officers testify in court. But yeah, it's in general, what we know is that if you are tired, if you are sleep deprived, you tend to make decisions more based on automatic processes, impulses, than on deliberation or being more rational.
Well, Cristiano, I'm a lawyer, so I don't hesitate to speculate without data. It's sort of what goes with the territory. Let me ask you one question following up on the police question. There are some, not many, it's going away, but there are some, I would guess 10-20% of police agencies in this country that operate on a rotating shift basis. And by that, I mean a officer will work, for example, a graveyard shift for 2 weeks, And then we'll have 2 or 3 or 4 days off, and we'll come back and work either swing shift or day shift for 2 weeks, and then we'll have some days off, and then we'll come back and work whatever the third shift is. And mm-hmm. that rotation will happen throughout the course of a year. Mm-hmm. Based on what we know about sleep issues, is that the sort of shift that is conducive to the best decision making?
Well, every time that we have a disruptive change in our sleep pattern, that has consequences for how we navigate through life. So it takes some time for the body to adjust. Think about when you are traveling and you are adjusting to different time zones. You become more slow in making the in analyzing, processing information. You may become more moody, and we know that if you are in a negative emotion, that influences how you make decisions as well. So, yeah, it's changing your routine definitely has implications on how you make decisions and behave despite of the context that you are embedded.
Well, Cristiano, with that, I'm going to close the podcast with a word of thanks to you for participating in this. It's very generous of you to give us your time, and thank you as well for the research. I very much appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Will. Thank you. It's been my pleasure. And it's very important for us to spread the word about our work. Sleep, it is important. It's important for individuals and it's important for organizations. We needed to make people more aware about the implications of having a bad night of sleep.
And with that, for our listeners, I hope you join us at our next regular First Thursday podcast. This is Will Aitchison signing off.